When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Product Coffee, a podcast where product professionals from Ibotta share stories, advice, and thoughts on all things product over a cup of coffee. So grab a cup of Joe and join us to level up your product career 30 minutes at a time. I'm one of your co-hosts, Zach LaGreca.
Kevin Gentry.
Patrick Kuchkowski.
Jennifer Newfield.
And I'm Bergen DeBell.
And today we wanted to talk about the first 90 days in a new organization. What does that look like for product managers? What do you do? How do you be successful? What does that look like depending on the type of role you're coming into, the level of seniority? Any thoughts?
We have a new podcast member now. So yes. Jenny Newfield is joining us, and she is an associate PM joining us from, what team were you on before?
I was on the client success team.
Client success team at Ibotta. So another success story of pulling someone that has been at a company and then jumping into product as a role. So maybe you can talk a little bit about how it's going so far.
Yeah, so I'm about a month into product. Had a lot of context on the organization, but it's definitely been interesting to jump into a completely different department and learn a different side of the business. So it's going well so far.
And what kind of drew you to product in the first place?
Yeah, so something I really enjoyed on the client success side of things was collaborating with different colleagues and working cross-functionally to solve problems. In that context, it was problems that our clients were facing, but really was drawn to that and kind of the empathy of teamwork and working together to, you know, develop a solution for someone. So I think that translated really well to product, and now I can kind of think about it more of the big picture product and how we can help end users as well.
I was going to say, so a month in, are you regretting it now?
No, it's great so far. Like I said, it's definitely really interesting to jump into a different side of the business. I've been at Ibotta a little over 2 years, but I feel like I've learned so much even just in the 1 month I've been on the product side.
Cool. So any advice, you know, for our listeners, you know, 30, 45 days in now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is taking the time to fully understand the product and orient yourself with the team. So, like I said, I'm working with a lot of different departments and colleagues that I haven't worked with historically. So taking the time to meet with those team members and build those relationships is extremely valuable.
Yeah, I think that's a great point for any product managers. Meet everyone you can as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to work with a lot of different people, a lot of different teams, and it's good to establish, you know, who's working on what across the different teams, who you're going to be partnering with, and kind of starting to build that rapport. And so maybe not the most glamorous thing, but a ton of one-on-ones and a ton of like meet and greets and coffees and stuff like that is usually good.
Yeah, and I would recommend in those meetings be really focus on being a sponge in that conversation. Listen more than you're talking is obviously the goal of those first 90 days. You're new to either the role or new to the organization, and you'll have a lot to learn from said stakeholders. So, I mean, it's really interesting. When you set up those discussions, you can really understand someone's passion around their role or the organization when you're just kind of ask them what they do in the business, and you're looked down and you're like 15 minutes later and you're like, I've asked one question. This is awesome. So I would say...
Yeah, how do you kind of prompt that kind of passion talking, like getting them going, right? Like,
Yeah. I think it depends on the individual's problem space. I think when I... product managers, the one-on-ones I had with them in my first 90 days, like the conversation, everybody's up on the whiteboard and they're scribbling out their different work streams. That was like my conversation with Kevin. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about in regards to your focus, but or the product itself, but you could just feel the passion you had around it. So I think the PM discussions, it definitely came out is, and you could feel everybody's passion around the product. Other, you know, legal, maybe not as much to learn up front, but just understanding how to work with these other departments, what types of communication that they, how do they want to communicate with you when you have dependencies on them? I think those are the types of questions that I went in asking in the first 90 days. Since, you know, I've been here 6 months now, didn't need anything from legal in the first 6 months, but now have a lot of dependencies on them for the project I'm working on. So it was smart, you know, nice to establish those relationships and how to work together really up front in my role here at Ibotta. So now it's like, it's not trying to establish these as part of the project in addition to all those other deliverables.
Yeah, I think that's really important, is like building that credibility so that people, like, you know, first month you're not necessarily making a ton of huge decisions, but a couple months in, especially as you get closer to 6 months in, you're going to have to start making calls that people aren't always going to like. And so having that credibility built, I think, definitely helps. And I also agree that, like, finding out, like, what people are passionate about on the product and how those things connect together. I remember when I was relatively new, I met with Patrick, and he was up on the whiteboard, like, detailing out, like, complex back-end systems, and I understood about 7% of it.
Yes, exactly.
And now, today, I understand about 40% of it. So, 1 year in. No, but I think it's really important to, like, understand how the different teams, like, connect together, but you also start to figure out, like, how the product functions, because it's never just as simple as, oh yeah, here's our code base, here's some APIs. It's, you know, there's this system that this team started, and there's this thing that was being worked on by someone else, but then they transitioned to a new team, or that person left for another role, and so no one has worked on that code in a while, and, you know, historically this decision was made for a different reason, and now we're trying to retrofit this old piece of software for something else. And I think kind of getting that, like, history of decisions made and kind of who's done what really can help you understand how to build whatever you're working on.
One thing I've seen be really successful, or at least propel most PMs into success here at Ibotta in particular, has been being able to ship a feature or make an impact, if not in the first few days, in the first week. And so it doesn't have to be major, but it really helps you to start to understand your domain and start to kind of break apart some of the fallacies you may have, where you're like, oh, well, I thought this thing worked like this, and then you're like, oh, and it doesn't. But it really forces you to, like, commit to something, and instead of really taking maybe 30 or 60 days to ramp up, sometimes it's like, I'm just going to jump into the fire and learn that way. That said, that is predicated on having a team that you're starting with. I know earlier we were talking, when I joined, I had two different squads. So initially it was data engineering, and it was a kind of internal operations team focused on our campaigns. And so I hit the ground running and was able to be doing backlog grooming 3 days in, not full context, and it's always awkward when our head of data, you know, was sitting in there like, well, when are we going to do this? I'm like, I don't know, but let me figure it out. But that helped me kind of really just get going. I'm not sure, I know a few others here when they started didn't have a squad, so I'd be curious to see what were your thoughts there.
Yeah, like when you're in a more greenfield project, I don't know, I think both of you guys had squads when you
I had a
here,
squad.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, I joined
you as well.
I had a squad as well.
Yeah. So I think I'm the only one and Jenny that haven't had a squad.
So what's your perspective?
More greenfield. Yeah, I think for me coming in, I actually really liked it at first. There were a few projects that, you know, a lot of folks were helping with, kind of, we were kind of stealing from other squads to help get some projects done, so that was okay, so we were able to get some of those quicker wins, and it was just enough work to just, you know, get it over the line and you know, do something with it, so that was fine. And then you kind of understand with that release process, okay, who are your stakeholders, you know, you announce something and people start chiming in, like, oh, what about this? Okay, this person really cares about this, so I'm going to talk to this guy. Those kind of things. But I really like the greenfieldness of the project, which was nice. So you do a lot of market research, you do a lot of customer interviews up front, you have that space to kind of do those things. And as a PM, we crave that space so much, and it gets so much harder when you have more teams and more, you know, you're delivering more features and, you know, ceremonies and all of these things that take up your meeting schedule. And then you're like, when do I have time to go build my strategy or do any of these things that we should be doing
at the organization? 8 p.m. on a Thursday night.
Right, exactly. You end up doing things late and, or off hours or really early in the morning. I mean, I think I've gotten here almost every day at around 7:30.
Yeah.
So it's been, like, insane. But, yeah, I think that's what I liked about it at the time. And I think, you know, making a case for other engineers to pitch in just a little bit from other squads, maybe negotiate with other PMs, like, hey, can I borrow one developer for 1 week and do this, and it'll help drive this thing, and be able to speak to that, and I think that'd be useful. But
Kevin's really good at that, by the way. Stealing the one developer for a couple weeks. So if you need any tips on that, he's your guy.
And then 1 week is a year later.
Spirals.
Tension is palpable right now.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin on that. I'm coming in and, you know, I don't have a squad yet. So I think there's a lot of benefits to that. It gives you time to really, you know, ideate and align on the strategy and build that foundation for yourself. And, you know, as I'm meeting with colleagues and getting up to speed on the product, it really allows me to dive into what's the vision and what do we want to accomplish without kind of having a backlog that you need to dive in and kind of organize. So I think there are a lot of benefits to that. And to Kevin's point, you can get a little bit scrappy sometimes. And I think it holds you accountable to understand, you know, hey, we could deliver this. This could be a quick win or opportunity for the team. And, you know, let's share resources there.
Yeah,
those are all some really great points. I think getting your strategy in place is a great thing to focus on. I think, Kevin, to your point, it's like, if you do have that time when you join, you don't have a team you have to manage right from the get-go, like, that time is precious and you'll soon miss that. Yeah. So use it while you have it. But also having a strategy in place is going to make you much more effective at running a squad or a team once you're going. Because then you'll be able to use that to quickly make decisions.
Yeah.
And if you can have that strategy, like, well documented, well fleshed out, and in a place where you're easily and quickly able to teach it to people, your engineers and other people you're working with will really understand where you're coming from and why you're making decisions, and they'll be less concerned about, like, well, why are we doing this, or why are we changing to do this other thing? And, you know, if you have that, it's like you can always point back to the strategy. So
that's our side of the story, right? What happens when you're a new PM coming into an organization with already a set strategy, and you're kind of, you know, inheriting a team and legacy work, and maybe, you know, tasked with creating a new strategy for this team, like Bergen and Zach and Patrick, you have all gone through this. Like, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think don't have an ego is important. I think when you're brought on for something that already has a strategy, or maybe you need to help redefine the strategy, but there's been existing work and kind of some existing direction on something already. If you come in as, you know, I'm the new product manager, and, you know, I'm brilliant, and, you know, whatever, like, that's not going to help you out, and you're not going to be able to win people over and persuade people to kind of go in the direction you think the product needs to go. And
sounds like you've had a bad story around this, or
my ego experience used to be huge. No, I hope not. But I think what I have learned is, if you go into it and just start making decisions, even if you have good reasoning behind what you're doing, some of this goes into, like, talking to people, building credibility, and getting context. If you don't do that enough, then people aren't going to trust what you're doing. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like if you're interviewing with a product manager and they don't ask any questions, they just have answers without wanting, you know, additional context. That kind of shows that, you know, they're thinking of something from their perspective, but they're not looking at the wider context.
Right.
And I think for a strategy, you need to really dive in and understand, what has the strategy been? Why are those decisions made? In part, you can uncover, like, skeletons in the closet. I don't want to repeat past mistakes.
Right.
If you're not talking to people, you may not find that. And the people who are working on the product and the strategy often are very smart people as well. And so not bringing them in, it's just not going to do you any favors.
Yeah.
And I think to build the best product you can, you want your team engaged and on board with the direction. And the best way to do that is to talk early and often with people. Really, I think be a sponge was a great quote from Bergen earlier. I think that's critical.
Yeah. to echo that sentiment, my first squad that I joined when I came to Ibotta was a machine learning focused squad, and that was a new problem space for me altogether. So not only was I learning a new product, I was learning a new focus area within the organization, and I was new to the business. So the way I approached my first 30 days with the team was owning things that I felt confident that I could own, whether that was running stand-ups and running the board, or trying to, you know, keep backlog grooming on track and running retros. Like, that was an area that I knew that I could have immediate impact on with the squad, because that's pretty universal how those things work. But in terms of setting strategy or thinking, it was more just, is there books that you can recommend or articles that I can read to, like, brush up my skills around this focus area or how we do machine learning within Ibotta? So whether that was pointing to blog posts that we've written internally or other external resources to read through.
Which is great, because we have a lot of blog resources on this.
A ton of resources.
Machine learning team's great about that.
They do a ton of writing. Yeah. So it was really helpful that there was some initial, like, literature there for me to read through. But it was trying to own little pieces that was, you know, took some of the weight off other team members that have been kind of playing that role in the past. So our machine learning manager was running the board historically. So things, little things that you can do just to show that you're really engaged, you're interested in the space, and you want to continuously learn, whether that's through reading or just kind of listening and learning on the team. So I think there's, like, looking at the bigger strategy piece, but also really how do you, like, approach that first couple weeks where you're like, I don't even know what Ibotta does as a business, and I also have no idea how machine learning works here. So it was a whirlwind first couple months, but I think if you kind of bite it off in pieces, it becomes a little more manageable.
I would also say there's a big difference depending on your seniority as a PM. If you're coming in as an associate PM, there's going to be less expectation. You generally are trying to learn the craft, and so it becomes more about, how do I get comfortable with the squad? The more senior you become, the more you're trying to build strategy, and you're trying to build strategy and understanding quickly. I know in a different company, a different role, when I was a director of operations, it became that, like, come in and you have 1 week to present your 30, 60, 90-day plan and start executing on it. And so I know we don't really do that as much with a lot of our senior PMs, but if you're coming in as a group PM or a director, that's kind of the expectation too. And then kind of a group question as well. So we've talked a lot on kind of, you know, ways we can approach this. What is things we've all done that were terrible or failures or things we should all avoid doing during your first 90 days?
I can speak to one. Not talking to a lot of people. I think, again, the disadvantage of going greenfield and not having a squad is you don't know where to start. So you kind of just are almost in your little silo until you start figuring out who those people are. So one thing I learned here was, you know, not to be so siloed and talk to as many people as you can. And even if you don't understand their direct connection to the projects you're working on, they probably have some, if they're vocal about it and passionate about it, they have some connection or some stake in it that you're just not seeing. So don't be so siloed, and definitely talk to more people. But I've definitely run into that before where I'm like, well, this person's doing this and I'm doing this, and wait, and they're yelling at me for what? Just confusion. And
I think I've had kind of a similar experience where I didn't get enough context on certain aspects of the business before really diving into a problem. And so I think, kind of like we talked about earlier, finding, like, the hidden constraints that have hindered the product, the company in the past, really understanding that, because there are some things that I didn't really dive much into earlier on, and some product decisions we made where it's like, oh, it'll be easier for us right now to not integrate with that system and just do this over here on our new API or new microservice. It'll just be so much faster. We won't be slowed down by some of this legacy stuff. Digging into that later, I started to find, you know, there were some,
all these dependencies
that now, like, our new product didn't have some of the functionality. It was missing components that
we
other
run into the same thing.
So I think that's where, like, it's the same thing, talking to a lot of people, and but beyond talking to people, trying to understand, like, what are the constraints of the overall system, the business, what could slow you down 6 months to a year from now. Understanding that earlier can be helpful.
I would recommend, or something I didn't do very well in the beginning, was documenting every decision. I came to Ibotta in March, and seasonality is a big part of our business. And April, I was like, okay, I'm feeling good. I've been here for a few weeks. We're running these marketing programs with machine learning optimization behind them. And come, you know, a couple weeks into this program that we launched, marketing was upset with our squad in regards to the fact that they didn't have the full picture of what we were doing. And I, being new to the organization, thought that this is kind of how we work together. We had these conversations in a meeting. We all left with a similar understanding. But just note that heads nodding around the table does not mean that people are understanding what is being said. So highly recommend documenting decisions that are made and sending those things out to the entire team for visibility. I think we do a really great job of sharing information widely within this organization. And I, as a new individual here, didn't do a great job at that at first. And I learned that the hard way by not having those decisions documented so everybody could go back and reference them.
I would think we've all learned that the hard way. I've definitely learned that the hard way.
It makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I think you're alone.
Yeah, I think one of the key points there is you can think someone is on the same page as you and they're nodding, but they may be understanding it differently. And so sometimes putting it in writing where you're forced to like explicitly define this is what we're doing, that's where the Google Doc comments start to come out where it's like, well, I thought this. It's like, okay, this is really getting to the meat of things.
Yeah. Or the biggest thing I've run into is write down your assumptions on the doc too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that one has bit me hard where we're using the same term.
Right.
And it means two totally different things.
Oh, that's interesting.
So true. Yeah.
Call out assumptions. Mm. Yeah. Define like anything that is like a buzzword or an acronym. Define those things because they can mean different things.
They
like
do.
A quick example is like we've had this thing called phone verification to like secure your account, and that can mean like two or three different things at the point we're at now, where it's like, are we talking about, you know, confirming information internally on our platform, or does that mean using a third party service to verify something? Or all of a sudden, like I've been in rooms talking about something and realize, like, okay, we're talking about two different things with the same exact term.
Well, and the sad part is to solve that, it literally required 7 p.m.s getting into a room over lunch in order to determine that we're going to call it phone authentication or phone verification.
Let's not put that on out there. Let's not let them know the dirty decision making that had to happen.
Now, we had a very similar thing where it was like, we're going to increase the awareness of this ad product. And they're like, what does that mean? Does that mean increase impressions? Does that mean increase the awareness of the sales team knowing that this is a product, or the clients know that this is a product? Like, okay, yeah, words matter.
Words matter.
You got to be very specific.
I think metrics too. Like, I think as you're looking to say, here's what I'm doing 30, 60, 90 days.
Yeah.
And talking about here's like, we're going to increase engagement. Mm-hmm. Definitely define that and make sure you have metrics where it's like, we are successful if there is, you know, an increase in 5% of impressions or whatever it is. Have a metric where you can quantifiably be like, we did that, and that's what we said we were going to do. We were either successful or we weren't, as opposed to, hey, we increased engagement or we increased impressions by 5%, and they're like, no, we actually wanted our CSAT score to be improved and we wanted a marketing campaign to be run nationally. It's like, okay, well, those are all different things that could do that, but that's a great point.
Yeah, I'm just taking notes right now. You know, I think I'll be able to reflect more on this, but even just a couple weeks in, you know, I think you guys spoke to the value of just meeting with as many people as you can, ask as many questions as you can. A lot of the advice I got was, you know, as you're meeting with people and learning things, you're not necessarily going to understand it the first few times, and just having that understanding that you're going to have multiple opportunities to learn more, and you don't have to fully understand it one weekend. You know, just continue to learn and be open to that.
That's a great point.
Quoted
by Bird.
All right, we're coming up on time, so quickly we can go around and do final thoughts. I think for me, one other thing I'd throw out there is make sure you know your product really well. So if you're going into a consumer-facing product, you've probably had some time to use it before even you got the job, but continue using that product a lot. Really know the ins and outs of every little piece of the product you're working on. If it's enterprise software, you may not have had as much time to use it until you got hired, but either way, go out and, you know, use it a lot.
Yeah, I would say in those first 90 days, cast that really wide net and understand as much as you can from all of the different squads and areas of focus across the business, because after that, you're going to be going really deep in your individual focus area, and it's difficult 6 months, 9 months in to an organization to then go back and try to gather that knowledge when you're dependent on some questions or answers for your particular focus area. So go as wide as you can in those first 90 days. I think that is your area or time to like have as many conversations and coffee, like buy as many Starbucks gift cards as you can and bring people out to coffee and learn from them, because that is your time to learn, and then it makes your ongoing life at an organization a lot easier.
Yeah, I second that. Just establishing relationships and documenting as much as you can.
Yeah, like I kind of mentioned earlier, try and make an impact, but continue to just reach out and really stay humble, like we've been talking about. If you are super aggressive and you know you're going to screw things up, but people know that, then they're going to be much more forgiving along the way.
Cool. So we're out of time. Quick homework assignment. Create a 30-day plan. Identify stakeholders you need to meet with. Take out to coffee. And try and identify a quick win. Other than that, thanks for joining us for Product Coffee. Now go level up.
There's
a lot of people.
Becca's like,
my savior.
Coffee.
Hi.
Hey. Donut holes, too.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Sugar.
Oh, no. Oh. Never mind.
There was donut holes. Now they're in Zach's backpack.